Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to John chapter number 4, please. John chapter number 4. Let's start reading in verse number 1. Well, let's drop down to verse number 3, actually. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground which Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For the disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of living water springing up to everlasting life. The woman saith to him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith to her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast said, Well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom has now has is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. The woman saith to him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, and when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship whom ye know not what. We know what we worship, for the salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Whence he come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and said unto them, Come see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then the Bible this morning, or the message this morning of the King James Bible. Father, we do thank you. We do praise you. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand here in front of these people. I pray, Father, that you would touch each heart, each life. Father, I pray that you would work, Father, that no one here would leave the way that they came in, that you would touch them, that you would change their life, that you would do a work in each soul here this morning. Lord, we pray for the one that is lost or undone this morning, Lord, that you might touch them, that you might guide them, and direct them in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We just read a portion of scripture where Jesus was journeyed and he was wearied. in his journey, and he set on the well of Jacob. I'd like to go back and look at another this portion of Scripture from verse number 20 there. The Bible says, "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Look at Jesus' response here. He said, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." I want to speak to you for just a little while this morning on true worship. On true worship. I wonder this morning, if you added up all the hours that you spent last week doing this and doing that, how much time did you ascribe to Jesus? Worship is ascribing worth to someone, to something, to a purpose. I wonder, did you spend more time on yourself? Did you spend more time on your career? Did you spend more time on your family? Did you spend more time watching TV? Worship is essential to the spiritual and physical well-being. God made it that way. He put something within you that wants to worship. Men worship the earth. Men worship the idols. Men worship something because something inside of them is crying out to worship. Someone said that worship can't be worked up, that it has to be worked out. I say that worship has to flow out. It has to flow out. The Bible says in Romans 5:5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us." Has worship flowed out of your heart to the very throne room of God this week? Have you spent any time with God? True biblical worship is rapidly becoming a thing of the past. Most Christians today have not even experienced true worship in their life. The Bible says that we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's the vitality. It's the essence of your Christianity. It's the vitality of your spirituality. Worship. In the Bible, there's found two types of worship. There's a personal and a private worship. In Genesis chapter 24, the Bible says, "And the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord." He wasn't in a worship service. He didn't go to church. He bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. There's a public worship. In Psalms chapter 121, the psalmist says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Are you glad to be here this morning? There takes great preparation for the heart of man to worship the Lord. you just can't come into the presence of God just like that. There has to be some preparation in your heart. And when the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know what that kind of means? It means that he brought something with him. He brought something with him to worship. Did you bring anything with you this morning to worship? Now, this is the preaching service. We don't have a total worship service. This is a preaching service. We had a worship service a little while ago. Did God stick his fingers in your heart and start to finger around and start having some communication with you and talking to you? What you bring to church stems from your private worship. If you didn't bring anything to church this morning, it's probably because you haven't been doing much private worship. The Bible talks of the phrase here, in spirit and in truth. It describes two essential characteristics of true worship. Not everything that is called worship in today's economy is actually worship. The phrase, in spirit, is distinguished from place or form or physical limitations. It's something beyond yourself, in spirit and in truth. Truth is distinguished from false conceptions resulting in a lack of knowledge or understanding. True worship includes both a spiritual presence and the communication with one being worship. Let me say that again. True worship requires both a physical or spiritual presence and a communication with the one being worshiped. It also has an effect on the person physically. Physically, it has an effect on your soul, on your emotion, on your mind, on your will. Because there's a truth that is coming into you. It's a truthful reception or conception of the one being worshiped. You come into a reality of the presence of God. This morning, I want to try to give you some help in true worship. Let me say this. Let me give you a couple of spiritual truths here. I'll give you some throughout the message. You may want to write them down. Spiritual truth number one. True worship is both spiritual and physical. True worship is both spiritual and physical. What do you mean? You see, the way you worship is part of the way you live your life. The way you worship is part of the way you live your life. That's part of the truth side. And spirit is the essence of something beyond you, and truth is the physical side. You see, let's do this. Look back at your Bibles here. We're still by way of introduction. Look at chapter number 4 there, John chapter number 4. Now look at verse number 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary in his journey, sat on the well. Have you ever been weary in your journey? Jesus was weary in his journey here. The physical side of him was weary. Look at chapter 4 again. And then look at verse number 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. They went to town. They saw that he was weary. They went to town to get some meat. But he saith unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. You see, something inside of him kicked in on the spiritual side. You know, witnessing and telling somebody about Jesus is part of worship. You see, what's in the well comes up in the bucket. What's in your well this morning? What's in your well? You see, here's another spiritual truth. Your ability to worship is directly proportional to your spirituality and application of the truth. Let me say that again. Your ability to worship is directly proportional to your spirituality and application of the truth. Let me give you a little example. Let's talk about salvation. Being saved. Being redeemed. We sung about being redeemed. I hope you're redeemed this morning. But salvation is knowing the Lord as your Savior. But first comes a conviction of you being convicted of your sin. Then comes a repentance. Then comes a belief of the gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that He was buried, and He rose again on the third day, and you trust that fact that Jesus alone can save you, and you put everything that you're resting on Him, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be... I hope you've done that this morning. That's a spirituality based on an application of truth. You see, there's an instruction in the Bible. There's knowledge in the Bible. There's understanding in the Bible, and there's wisdom. Let me give you a little mathematical equation, okay? Instruction plus knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. You say, what do you mean? Well, instruction is the teaching of truth, right? Knowledge is the accumulation of truth. Understanding is how to apply the truth. Wisdom is the actual application of truth. Let me give you an illustration. Take the Great Commission, for example. The Bible says, go eat. There's your instruction. It says, preach the gospel. In order to preach the gospel, you're going to have some accumulation of knowledge. You have to know what the gospel is. Give me a Baptist nod or amen or something. Understanding is how to apply the truth. Understanding, hey, the Bible talks about the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel. You need to understand that. But if you sit at home and you never tell anybody, you have instruction, you have knowledge, you have understanding. But until you actually preached the gospel and applied that knowledge, that is wisdom. I wonder if we took that and we applied that to your worship, where you would fall. True worship affects both sides of the soul. I created a little graphic. Can we get graphic number one? There it is. True worship affects both sides of your soul. You see, on one side you have the body. We're a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. On one side, we have our five senses always going into our body, the natural man. Okay? It's always trying to attack our emotion, our reason, our conscience, our will. Incidentally, when Satan attacks you, he's attacking the body to try to get control of the soul. Okay? On the other side of the soul, we have the spirit. If you're born again, you have the Spirit of God. The Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. On this side, we have the Spirit. On this side, we have the body. True worship affects both sides of the soul. The body and the Spirit. It's going to affect you in how you live your life. It's going to affect you in how you direct your life. It's going to affect you how you look at Christ. For example, what's the difference between happiness and joy? What's the difference? Well, happiness comes from the old English word happenstance. If everything's happening, my senses, my conscience, my natural man, my sight, my smell, if everything's going right, I'm happy. Joy on the other side comes from God. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. I can have joy in my soul when nothing's happening. When there's not enough money in the bank account. When the doctor gives us the bad news. When a loved one has gone astray. You can have joy within your soul when nothing happening. It's because it's spiritual. Happiness is physical. Thank you. On the graphic. True worship manifests itself through joy, through knowledge, through closeness, through spirituality. You cannot worship if you're dead spiritually. You cannot worship if you're carnal. You know, the Corinthian church, the Bible says that they were carnal. They weren't Christians. You say, well, wait a minute now. No, they were carnal. They were carnal, saved folk. They weren't Christ-like. They were saved, but carnal. Christian means Christ-like. Let me take your Bibles with me. I have a long introduction and a short message. Take your Bibles with me. Turn to Psalms chapter number 2. I said that worship comes from a relationship. It comes from a closeness. Look at Psalms chapter number 2. Look at verse number 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. It says, kiss the Son. That lady sitting right there on the second to the end row, the beautiful lady there in the white sweater, that's my wife of 35 years, 34 years. You know what? I can't kiss her right now. You know why? I'm not close enough. Are you close enough to Jesus to kiss him? John leaned on his breast. Are you close enough? This comes from worship. How well do you know his voice? The Bible says in Revelation, listen, he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Jesus said it this way, he that hath ear, let him hear. Do you have any spiritual ears that you can hear? Let me ask you this. How well does, you know his voice, but how well does he know your voice? Hey, does, he say, hey, Gabriel, come here. Do you recognize that voice? Who's that? Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah. August 9th, about 25 years ago, they trusted me, right? Well, I haven't heard from them since. Years ago, when I was in Bible college, we stopped on the way home from church that evening at a store called Piggly Wiggly, something like that. Anybody ever know Piggly Wiggly? Okay. I don't even know if they're still in existence. I went in, my family, my wife, my daughter was only an infant at that time. I went in, and I must have tarried a little bit long in the store. Because unbeknown to me, my wife came in looking for me. I was in the checkout. I was talking to another student from Bible college, and from the corner of the store, way back in the store, I heard Heidi just a wailing. And all of a sudden, my ear perked up. I told my friend, Kyle, I said, Brother Kyle, that's my baby. And he said, what? I said, that's my baby crying. When you pray, does God's ear perk up and say, that's my child? The Bible uses the phrase, in truth. We're talking about the spiritual or the physical side of worship. Worship is not a place. It's not in Jerusalem or Mount Gerizim. They were standing right there. At Jacob's well, they were looking to the south and saw Mount Gerizim, where the Samaritans and where the early church or the early patriarchs worship. And that woman said, hey, I'm going to get him. I'm going to show him. This is the true place of worship. And Jesus said, no, worship is not contained to a place. It was almost like Jesus was saying, listen to me. It's not as important, the place is not as important as what you think. There's a new dispensation coming, and you better get ready for a change. And I say to you this morning, if you're not worshiping the way that the Bible says that you're to worship in spirit and truth, you better get ready for a change. You better make the requirements in your life that meet the prerequisites of true worship in spirit and in truth. Worship is not about a place. It's not about a position. You don't have to kneel your head or bow your head or kneel your knees or fall prostrate to worship. Worship is about the way it's your conversation of life. It's coming into the presence of God. It contains many aspects. Prayer. Praise. Worship is all about a person this morning. It's the knowledge of Jesus through the Word of God. How much time do you spend reading and studying the Bible? How much time do you spend praying? Jesus told his disciples to watch and pray so that ye enter not into temptation. Your ability to watch in this generation is proportional to the amount of time that you spent in prayer. And why do we need to watch, Jesus? So you enter not in temptation. Here's another spiritual truth for you. The secret to the Christian life is that you spend more time with Him than you spend with anybody else. The secret to the Christian life is that you spend more time with Him than you spend with anybody else. How much time do you spend with Jesus? I love that song, "And He walks with me, and He talks with me." Adam and Eve walked with Jesus. Enoch walked with Jesus. The Bible says that the only other two people in the New Testament that says that they walked with Jesus was Lydia and Paul. I wonder, when your life is over and your commentary is written, will it be said of you that you walked with Jesus? Look at Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, Paul said this. The man that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament said, "That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Paul wasn't saying that he wanted to be crucified. Paul was saying, I need that Romans 6 experience. Death, burial, and resurrection to a new life. How well do you know Jesus? We talked about the phrase, in truth. We have all the truth we need right here. The problem is, Dr. Bob, we don't have too much spirit anymore. There's a spiritual side of worship. Can I get graphic number 2? We're almost done here. Graphic number 2, you see the soul as represented as 3 circles. You see the inner man, or the inner spirit. You notice that Jesus said, those that worship the Lord must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you notice the capitalization of that sentence, there's a big S and a little S. Your spirit has to be reborn. But the problem is, our spirit does not control our body and our soul. It's being controlled from external stimuli. But the spiritual side of worship has to do with praise. They're tightly closed together. It's happening to walk into the very presence of God. Most Christians do not experience this side of worship. Most Christians haven't had God touch the very essence in every transcend through all life. Let me get graphic number 3 on the screen, please. Most Christians haven't had this experience where the Holy Spirit transcends not just to your soul and your spirit, but it transcends to a holy life. God touches the very praises. Let me read you some scriptures here and we'll be done. Look, if you want to turn with me, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter number 15. It illustrates this. John 15, verse 19, the Bible says, if ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The problem is there's too much world in the Christian today. Remember the word that I said of you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If you keep my saying, they will also keep yours. You said, You see here in verse number 26, we read through it, he's talking about you're in the world, but you're not of the world. He says there's something coming in verse number 26. It's called the Comforter. You know what it's going to do? It's going to take you right out of this world into another realm. Look at Philippians chapter number 3. Bible says in verse number 20, for our conversation is in heaven. That word conversation means your manner of life. It also encompasses not only your manner of life, but your way of life, your communication. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at compare that with chapter 1 of Ephesians and verse number 20. The Bible says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I be ashamed, but with all boldness, as I say now also you, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether in my life or in my death. I wonder, is that your prayer this morning? How do you worship? Prayer and worship are tied very close together, just like prayer and praise. You see, as praise helps you to worship, prayer also helps you to worship. You know, most of us think of prayer as a vending machine. God, we can go to God and drop in a few prayers and pull a couple handles, and we get it now, right? That's not what prayer is made for. Prayer is made to praise God, to ascribe worth. Is he your closest friend? I wonder this morning, where is your worship? Is it in spirit and in truth? Or is it in your physical and not in your spiritual? Your ability to worship, true worship, is directly tied to your spirituality and your application of the truth in your life. Do you worship him this morning in spirit and in truth?